Hi everyone, and welcome to the Say As It Is with Pete podcast series. I'm Pete, your host, and each week I will bring you some frank and honest conversations covering various topics from learning and development, friendships, funding, HR, strengths, recruitment, ESG, well-being, ED&I, employability, and much, much more. So let's get this week's episode underway and say as it is. Hi everybody, and welcome to this episode of Say As It Is with Pete. And in this week's episode, we're looking at CVs are dead. Now, I do apologise if you can hear some drilling in the background. There are some roadworks outside, so apologies. Hopefully, with the magic of technology, I can drown out that noise. So you should be fine. So in this episode, as I mentioned in the previous episode of, you know, recruitment in 2025, in episode 9, I mentioned that CVs are dead. And probably people are saying, what are you saying, Peter? Well, they are. You know, look, we're stepping into 2025 now, okay? And it's time to rethink our approach on recruitment and job hunting. So we're going to explore the traditional CVs and why they're becoming obsolete, and how, you know, innovative tools like, say, StrengthScope Interview are starting to shape the future of hiring. Now, look, for me, a CV can be fantastic, and I think I've done episodes before on, you know, getting your CV ready and tips and tricks to get your CV where it should be, and how it can get picked up by the wonderful world of AI, due to the automated recruitment application systems and what you can do. And many people have CVs for every single job they've applied for, whether it's a customer service role, whether it's a leader role, whether it's a manager role, whether it's, you know, whatever role it may be. People tailor their CVs, or have been told to tailor their CVs for the application they're applying for. Well, guys, you're not going to like this, and many recruiters won't like it, and probably some, you know, HR professionals that listen to this will not like what I'm going to say, but CVs are dead. They don't exist, or they shouldn't exist. When I left school many, many moons ago, you know, we were expected to have a CV and a record of achievement. Well, I hadn't got much work experience, and the only work experience I really held, you know, work experience I really had was my 3 to 4 weeks work experience when I worked at British Airways in the graphics design department and trained a little bit with cabin crew, and got to experience that, which was really good fun, and I loved BA for that. And I never forget the woman we in the graphics design department called Hazel. She was fantastic, and I designed some training for the DC-10s that British Airways still had at that time, and that's going back a long, long time, and they flew out of Gatwick at that point. So it was great fun, and that was in Concord, and everything else was still around. And this was at the Compass Centre, not the Compass Centre, sorry, this was, yeah, the Compass Centre at Silver Jubilee Way. So absolutely loved it. So look, things have changed, and I didn't have a CV, and a lot of people that are leaving kind of, you know, education and starting their early careers are not going to have a lot of work experience or anything. And a lot of people get battered back because they don't have the experience that people are looking for, which is a bit, excuse my language, a bit shit really. And I get frustrated. Everybody should have an opportunity. And look, we need people to do the jobs, right? And a lot of people are focused on qualifications and having degrees and doctorates and PhDs and masters and bachelors and whatever it may be. Come on. The price of education is ridiculous now, right? It's like £9,000 a year for uni. Not happening. You know, people can go and do an apprenticeship and learn everything they would at, say, college or uni by doing an apprenticeship, but at work. And they're gaining the knowledge, the skills, and the behaviours while at work. So they're earning while they're learning. Perfect. Guys, employers, hire apprentices. What are you doing? Bring someone in, fresh out the box, new ideas, new approaches. Perfect. Anybody, any age can do an apprenticeship. So don't limit it. All right? Now, it's coming up to National Apprenticeship Week in February. And I'm telling you now, employers, don't age limit your apprentices. Don't focus on the younger ones. Have a complete broad spectrum, okay? Now, look, when we talk about CVs, I've spoken to many professionals, and there's a 50-50 view on this. Some agree and some don't agree. But I don't believe in CVs anymore, because us as employers, when we are creating a application via our application tracking systems, we have these wonderful flashing application tracking systems that captures all this data. So there are some systems that say, upload your CV, and it pulls all the data through. and then the poor can sit there and adjust it. And I've done that before, and it's doesn't put it in correctly. It's a pain in the backside, but they do it. Or there's a lengthy application process where you fling out your details, and sometimes that puts candidates off, and sometimes it doesn't, and they'll fill it out if they're genuine and, you know, authentic about applying for the role. And it can be a bit of a bugger sometimes, because what you're doing is basically you are, and then let me get through this. So once you've asked them for everything, their name, their age, their address, their ED&I credentials, everything else, their experience, their education, you're then asking them to upload their CV. Huh? No. Stop. Don't ask them for their CV if you've already asked them for that information. But what are you as an employer doing with that information? Look, for me as an employer, I'm more interested in, do they have experience in the industry that I want them to work in? You know, how committed are they and dedicated to roles? And I'm more interested in the last 5 years of work history. Because, come on, think about it. Most people are going to stay around for probably 3 to 5 years, then they'll bugger off to another job. So I need to know, are they going to stay for up to 5 years within a role? If they are, perfect. That's what I want to see. I do want to know, past those 5 years, what they did kind of before, to give me a bit of an insight into them. But an interview is about getting to know them, their knowledge, their skills, and their behaviours. Okay? So as I say, as we move into 2025, there is a decline of the traditional CV, and there's so many different versions, and I've seen so many things on Instagram and TikTok and Snapchat and all sorts of platforms talking about, have your CV this way, create your CV this way, don't have a picture, don't have this. I already know this. I have an episode on it, so I can tell you that. But there are some things. So with CVs, here's why I think they're diminishing. Number one is there's a limited insight. So the CVs only often, well, the CVs actually often fail, I should say, to capture the candidate's full range of skills and capabilities. Because normally you're saying your company, your job title, your start and end date, and then you're trying to list all the duties you've done. No, achievement, success. That's what you need to be doing. But and add your skills in. So it's limiting the range of skills and capabilities that you can put in. Two, there's a bias and inaccuracy. So CV screening can lead to people overlooking the hiring manager overlooking the excellent candidates or potential excellent candidates due to unconscious bias or lack of specific qualifications, because they're only going to the qualification saying, have they got the question? No, reject. Qualification? No, reject. Come on, someone may be doing the job or have done the job for so long. They may not have the qualification, but they are absolutely occupationally competent. They have the knowledge. They have the skills. They have the behavior. They just haven't had any formal qualifications. Okay? So also, it's a static nature. So in a fast evolving, wonderful world and all the industries we work in, a CV is merely a snapshot of the past, and it's failing to reflect a candidate's current abilities or future potential. And number four, changing job markets. So with 85% of the jobs in 2025 that we have that didn't exist in 2022, hiring based solely on past experience is becoming impractical. Okay, it is, you know, look, and they're the four points why they're declining. Now, due to that decline, there are some impacts. So with the change, there are impacts that now are having an impact on job seekers and recruiters prospectively. So the way that this can be is for job seekers now, where they're not bothering with CVs and, you know, or they are, you know, using their CVs and adapting them, is that for those looking for work, this shift presents both a challenge and opportunities. So one is skill showcasing. So there should be a focus on demonstrating your skills rather than listing your qualifications. It's all about skills and abilities. So knowledge, skills, and behaviors. Two, adaptability. It's about now highlighting your ability to learn and adapt to new roles. Number three, it's about your digital presence. So it's about cultivating a strong online professional profile. Hence why we have LinkedIn. Yeah, LinkedIn should be able to profile all our, you know, achievements, success, our skills, our abilities, you know, what we do. And on LinkedIn, you should really only be posting your company, your job title, the to and from dates, and the skills set that you have in that ability. I'm not interested in knowing what you've been doing, because what's the point? I'm going to ask you that in an interview. And as a person that's recruiting, I should know what those abilities are. And I can tailor the interview for that. And then number four is continuous learning. So it's engaging on ongoing skill development to stay relevant. So it's making sure that you're showing that you're keeping up to date with your knowledge, skills and behaviours, whether you're doing online courses, you're doing LinkedIn learning, you're doing self-learning, you're pulling on VRQ. So these are vocational related qualifications, which are kind of normally level two quals that are funded by the government. Maybe that you're doing an apprenticeship. It may be that you're keeping your CPD up to date and you have a CPD log. So you've got to show that you're continuously learning and you're keeping up to date with your industry, your sector, everything else, which really, really helps. Then obviously it's going to have that prospective impact on recruiters. So recruiters employ and employers are also trying to adapt to this change because, you know, if you are aware, CVs are dead. So by doing this, there are three things that are kind of common at the moment. One is skills-based hiring. So there's more of a growing emphasis on assessing practical skills than rather just qualifications. So the qualification is great. It shows that you're competent and capable of doing the job. But actually, what is your skills and abilities? Because there's people that go to uni and do the same kind of qualification, but have all the knowledge and theoretical side, but no practical skills. So we should be focusing on that, on those practical skills. Two, diversity and inclusion. So moving beyond a CV can lead to a more diverse and inclusive workforce. Okay. And three, efficiency. So looking at a skills-based hiring model or process, it can reduce time to hire and improve candidate quality because you're basing it on their skills, and their ability from that kind of, and skills hiring or skills-based hiring is quite good actually, because you're wanting to know, have they got the skills for that? Because they're going to pop up in your in an employer's top 10, but also it makes the hiring process a lot more streamlined. But as I said before, StrengthScope. Now, all of you know I'm a master StrengthScope practitioner and I love StrengthScope. Cannot sing about it much. And I already have my Creative Mind business. So Pete at creativemind.zone, where I offer StrengthScope as well. I offer all the StrengthScope suites. So all assessments in I should say, from StrengthScope interview to StrengthScope teams to StrengthScope itself to StrengthScope 360, StrengthScope leader, all of them. So I strongly believe in StrengthScope. And look, StrengthScope in early careers is key because I think it's important when people are kind of transitioning from education into the working world, they need to know what their strengths are. They need to know what their bubbling unders and their energy drainers are. And with strengths, you can identify those and you can then utilize them in your day-to-day work and life balance. And it's another way of saying hello to you. So with the rise of the new StrengthScope interview, which I absolutely love, and I've had many conversations with Mary and Ben at StrengthScope on this, is that it's time to look at how we bring about a new game changer in the ever-evolving landscape, and that's StrengthScope interview. So this initiative or initiative tool is revolutionizing the hiring process, and Siemens use it quite a lot, and there's some great case studies on StrengthScope's website about how Siemens have used it, and they've showcased Siemens quite a bit on this, and I love it. So number one, there's five key points on this. Number one is the candidate-centric approach. So StrengthScope interview empowers candidates to showcase their authentic selves. So with StrengthScope, it asks you a bunch of questions, you answer them, and then it shows you what your strengths are. It's not necessarily going to show you the StrengthScope wheel like you would on a StrengthScope profile, where it shows your thinking, your execution, your relational and your emotional strengths. What it's going to do is it's going to list your top seven strengths. And it's similar to a bit like a SWOT analysis. So I don't believe in SWOT analysis anymore. I believe in StrengthScope. StrengthScope really replaces the SWOT analysis in my view. And with StrengthScope interview, it's going to highlight what their strengths are. Okay. Number two, strengths focus. As I say, it helps identify the candidate's core strengths by providing a more holistic view for their potential. Number three, it's kind of an improved decision maker. So around about 90% of hiring managers reported benefits in using decision making when using StrengthScope interview. Number four, enhance candidate experience. So 98% of candidates recommended StrengthScope as part of a permanent part of the recruitment process. That's saying something. And if they're getting something from it, and it's proving popular, and 98% of candidates are recommending StrengthScope as part of the recruitment process, it's a no-brainer, guys. And then number five, it's an authentic, it's a great tool to have authentic conversations. So it enables more genuine and insightful interview discussions. So from somebody's StrengthScope, you can, or embedding StrengthScope within your interview process, you can create strength-based questions. And you're not sitting there going, well, I want someone in this team that's going to have more relationship building, more leading, has got to have emotional control, got to have attention to detail, has to be true mindfulness. It's not that. It's seeing those person's strengths and then asking them questions around that. So I can see that you are, one of your strengths is leading. So could you tell me about how you've led a team and how you could use your leading strength within the role? Or you could say, okay, I can see you're very optimistic. Tell me why you're optimistic. How have you used your optimism? So it gives the candidate more of an authentic approach to answering questions. You can ask strengths-based questions, which is better. And in that way, it helps them. So even if they're not successful in the recruitment process, you know what? As an employer, you've given them the tool to move forward to other roles and apply for roles, because then they know actually what their strengths are. But actually, you might sit in there and see somebody's strengths and go, actually, this person is more suited for this role, not the one they're applying for now. I think they're better off in HR or IT or somewhere. So let's have that conversation with them and have that conversation. And it's more authentic. It's genuine. Okay. And interviews need to change. Come on, I'm bored of these stupid interviews. So tell me where you're doing now and tell me a bit about yourself and what's your qualifications. Oh, and I can see you did this. Oh, and tell me more about this. You're just reading their CV. I want to know about the person. And having their strengths in front of you is a great way to do it, because it says, okay, I can see that most of your strengths, and as a StrengthScope master practitioner, I can see from somebody's StrengthScope wheel or StrengthScope interview results, is I can kind of gauge where their strengths are sitting and whether they are internal or external, whether they are people focused or task focused. And I can already see a snapshot of them and go, well, actually, I can see that most of your strengths here are based on external, and I can see that you're more of a people person. So how do you think that's going to impact on the role? What do you think you could bring with that? And then it gives that more sense. So yeah, perfect. Absolutely love it. So if you want to do StrengthScope interviews, employers or potential job seekers, reach out to me, pete@creativemind.zone, and I'll go for it with you. But as I said, it's got to be more skills. It's got to be based on their knowledge, skills, and behaviors. Okay? And that's what it should be based on, not what they did 10, 15 years ago. Focus on the last 5 years. What are they able to do? Yeah, you can throw questions at them about the job, so you know what the job is. So give them a scenario to answer. Give them a short practical task to do. It's no harm in that. Make it, instead of I ask a question, you give me an answer. It's ridiculous. And come on, be honest. You know, you're not looking at the CV. You're just making notes on the CV. That's it. All right. So don't tell me that you check every single CV, because you don't. Because CVs don't exist. They're dead now. So on this, let's look at the way forward. So as we move away from a traditional CV, here's what both job seekers and recruiters should focus on in this new approach, in my view. So there's 4 points here. Number one, embrace skills-based assessments. So look forward beyond the paper qualifications to practical abilities. Okay. Two, prioritize authenticity. So create opportunities for candidates to showcase their true selves, whether that be in a practical assessment, for example, whether that, you know, you have a look at StrengthScope and you have those authentic conversations around their strengths. Three, continuous adaptation. So stay open to new recruitment methods and tools. Okay, keep an eye out there for them. What's going on out there? Obviously, with all the new AI and stuff coming out, what is out there? but please change your recruitment process. Step away from CVs. Look at how your job applications are being done now, because if you're asking for a CV and to put all their information in that's on their CV, it's a bit redundant, right? Go for one or two. For me, for my organisation that I currently work for, we tend to just get people to upload their CV if they want to, or just type in their experience. It's not a requirement. So they can fill it in manually, or they can upload a CV. All we're interested in is the last 5 years of work history. That is it. And number four, focus on potential. So assess candidates based on their ability to learn and grow, not just achievements. Okay? Now, to kind of sum all this up, while CVs may not be entirely dead yet, I wish they were, but they're not, their role is diminishing in favour of more dynamic and accurate hiring processes. So by employers and job seekers and recruiters embracing tools like StrengthScope Interview and focusing on skills and strengths can create a more effective, fair and satisfying recruitment experience for everyone involved. Okay, now remember, the future of hiring is about seeing the whole person, not just on a piece of paper. Okay, that's an individual that's in front of you. Everything about them cannot be captured on one piece of paper. Unless I give you my CV when I applied for a tutor role, which was like 20 pages of all my life experience and all my work experience. It was manic, but they loved it. Got me the job. So remember, the piece of paper is just a snapshot. It's the person in front of you that counts. Okay, so let's embrace this change and start to build stronger, more diverse and more capable teams in the process. Now, as you all know, I believe in social value and social recruitment. So we got to adapt the recruitment process altogether. So people, in my opinion, CVs are dead and done. You should be basing somebody on their skills and experience. You want to know, obviously, what they've been up to in the last 5 years, but what skills and experience can they bring to that role? Change the interview questions, because the ones you've got are dead as well. And I'm sure I'll do another podcast on interviews are dead, because in a way not dead, they need to be revived. They need that electric shock back into it and revive some energy in there and give it a bit more life. But at the moment, CVs are not the way forward, and I think CVs should be banned. It should be based on the individual. You know, who is that individual that's sitting in front of you? What are their skills? What are their abilities? What is their knowledge and understanding? What are their behaviours? So all of this can be done differently if you approach it differently. And look, with the wonders of AI out there, you've got, you know, ChatGPT, you've got Perplexity, you've got all these AI things. Throw some questions in there, like, you know, you want to change your recruitment process. This is what you want to do. I've got some great prompts you can use. If you want to use them, reach out to me. But you could use that to look at how you could revitalize and re-energize your recruitment process and hiring. And we all know time to hire is key. So, as I say, StrengthScope Interview is fantastic. Highly recommend it. Should be used. It's a different approach. And that's how it should be done. And it's looking at the individual's strengths. Because everybody says, what's your weaknesses? Please, please stop. I'm going to say this as a employer, recruiter, whatever. Stop asking what somebody's weaknesses is. We don't have a weakness. We have an energy drainer. So for example, my energy drainer is common sense. I can't work with people that don't bring common sense to the table. If somebody hasn't got common sense, I'm done. I'm out. I'm out of the room. I'm turned off. I'm not engaged. But if somebody is in the room, they're using the common sense. That energy, that's perfect. It doesn't drain me. You know, also it could be that attention to detail might be one of my energy drainers, because when there's so much information, it fries my brain, for example. Not that that's not one of my drainers, but I'm just using an example. It fries my brain. I can't concentrate. Okay, so it's more about what energy drainers do you have, and it's changing your mindset. And I really think employers should be focusing on StrengthScope this year and looking at how it has an impact both on existing staff and potential new employees. And you can use that StrengthScope journey right from the beginning of them doing a StrengthScope interview to then building it into the organization. And again, reach out to me and talk about that. But please, if you look at your recruitment process now, are you asking for a CV and then importing everything from that CV into the job application? Or are you wanting the CV and wanting them to fill out a whole application, which is basically everything on the CV because you don't want to read it? But how are you using that information? That's the main thing. How are you using CVs within your recruitment process? are they viable or not? Now, if somebody's got experience within the role or is applying for the role and can meet the skills that you're looking for, get them in for an interview. Change your recruitment process. Ask questions around the role, not the generic questions. You know, when you've worked in a team before, can you tell me when you've worked in a team and met a deadline? You know, what's your strengths and weaknesses? You know, what could you bring to this role? Tell me about a time where you've not met a deadline. What did you do? These are boring interview questions. Come on, they're dead. I'm already turned off. Base it around the job role itself. And that's what I do with my trainees that I recruit within my organization. Not my organization, but the company I work for. When I have a conversation about trainers, I will give them a scenario and ask what they would do. And then that gives me an understanding whether they actually have the knowledge and skills in relation to that, and how their brain is thinking and what they're doing. And I focus on their strengths rather than anything else. Okay, so look, change up your CV process. I'm going to wrap this episode up anyway, but look, I just want to say, guys, remember the person in front of you cannot be seen fully on the snapshot of a CV. So one, change your recruitment process. Guys, CVs are dead. Don't use them. Move more, as I said, what you should be doing. That's those four points is embrace the skills-based assessment. So StrengthScope is one of them, for example. Prioritize authenticity. You know, have that continuous adaptation to recruitment process and focus on the potential. Okay, if you want to know more, or you want to have a conversation around it, or you want to join in another conversation about talking why you think CVs should not be dead and why they still should be relevant, reach out to me, and I'm more than happy to get you onto a podcast. But again, guys, thank you for listening to this. I hope you found it useful for both employees, recruiters, and job seekers. But if you're interested in more on StrengthScope interview or StrengthScope in general, reach out to me. But as I say, come on, employers. Wake up. CVs are not there anymore. They're not a tradition. You've got things like LinkedIn that are working. Get more people towards LinkedIn and showcase themselves on LinkedIn, because that's what I'm looking at. You know, how are they engaging? What are they posting about? You know, what are their interests? All those kind of things. That's going to help. So, guys, again, thank you for listening to this podcast. I hope that you have a wonderful day. The next episode is going to be looking at financial well-being as we currently face this economic change within our wonderful world. And it is an episode that I did promise from my previous podcast in episode 9. But please go back and listen to previous episodes and look at some of the recruitment advice and guidance I've given over seasons 1, 2, and 3. And until the next episode, have a wonderful day, and I shall catch you soon. But remember, you can listen to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcast from.